Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of you out in Radio Land. You're listening to The Cricket Show, Saturday morning episode. And Leon Francis sitting in for Ivor Henry, who is on an assignment. And with me in the studio is Dennis Heath. Good morning, Dennis. How are you, my brother?
Good morning to you, Leon. It's nice to be back. And we're looking forward to a wonderful show today out here. The forecast temperature is going to be in the upper 70s, so that's a little bit of a reprieve from the triple digits.
Oh.
Back to you.
I don't envy you at all, because we are having overcast skies in my neck of the woods, and we are anticipating that there should be some showers of blessings throughout the day. Here there is a pending storm somewhere in the south of the country. Just pray wherever it may be, it will not be that devastating. But let me just tell you that we will be not have the presence of Mertris this morning. She's attending a funeral, and would you believe it? Almost every week you hear someone who has passed, and from my information, the funeral is of a past cricket umpire. I was sad I didn't get the name, but I just want to, just those of you who might have known that the individual might just bring it to our attention, and we will just remember the family and friends. But without any further ado, let me give this choice blessings. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that you have afforded us. We pray that you let this show go on without any interruptions whatsoever. And we trust that we may have an enjoyable show. And those who come on may just find it So welcoming and pleasant to the ears of all who are listening. We pray especially for the ones who are struggling with ill health, my dear wife Eunice, Dr. Leroy Lashley and his dear daughter, Connie Wickley, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Marcus Nisbet, Elkelmita Willett, Wentworth Francis, another brother of mine, and further afield over in New Brunswick, my dear brother Telbert, he's still struggling. Dennis Kelman, Iselma Cornelius, Roston Otto, Joseph Guntrup, Alpheus Philip, Willis and Mona Daniel, Selma Williams, Dr. Roger Brown, Earl Stevens, Judith Byrne, my sister, Conrad Williams, my brother, and Alric Morgan, a friend of mine from school, and Sonia Sargent, and all the others who have not expressed their concerns. Lord, we pray for them. We trust that you may just bring them back today. You know, myself and those who are struggling with any kind of problem whatsoever. We pray for this country with this COVID. And we pray for the people of Afghanistan as they struggle to get through this. And all the countries in the world who are struggling as a result of this pandemic and are not able to do what they normally would like to do. We thank you, Lord, for your giving us this opportunity once again to do a show. And we trust that the show may be enjoyable and comforting to many around the world. Thank you, Lord, for this. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, Dennis, let me get the
morning. Good morning again, Leon. It's another Saturday morning, and before we start our day, we're still mindful of, you know, the situation in Haiti. Hope and pray that things can improve out there. You know, first came the earthquake, or rather first came the assassination, then the earthquake, then the hurricane. Now Haiti is bracing for an outbreak of disease. How much can one country take? Leon, back to you.
Amen. Let me begin by playing this song.
Everywhere I go, people have been asking me, Apsti, why a religious album? But let me tell you, God has been good to me. God has been merciful. He has done wonders for me. And apart from that, I am from a religious background, but I am one sheep who went astray. I can remember at a very early age, I lived with my grandmother in a village in Antigua called Bansil, a section they call Maney Hill. We lived together. My grandmother was a plantation worker. She used to work what we call in Antigua, grung. That's a garden. Well, let me tell you, my grandmother was a Seventh-day Adventist, and she taught me that every Friday afternoon, we should go in as the sun go down and wake up very early Saturday morning to go to church. Now, she had a big, big donkey. She used to call the donkey Bo. And every Saturday, she will jump on the donkey with the Bible and the quarterly and the other books. And me running behind she and the donkey going to church. The people in the village would line the streets to see me grandy on top of this high donkey and pour me a run behind she. But even though we had no fancy transportation and we didn't have no big set of food and stuff like that, we made it to church every Saturday. We worshiped, had a wonderful time, and get back to the village safe and sound by the help of God. She was wonderful. My grandmother, Annette Webson, was a God-fearing person, and she really kept the faith. And when things really came down on her, she would take me inside, and she'd ask me to reach for the Bible, and she would read the 23rd Psalm, and she would read to me, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen, amen. That is the King Obstinate. He sings calypsos, and he was stricken with a bad illness, and he is back on his feet again. But thank you for that. This other song is Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. Let's hear it. Dr. Foster. Dr. Foster Hill on the pipe organ. And I'm sure you are familiar with this group, Dennis. They hail from your country, the Grace Trillers. They say they can't even walk without. just want to say good morning to Phil, Paul Pike, and also to Geraldine and Mita, Paul Pike, down there in Miami. I know this is your favorite, one of your favorite groups. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, yes, the music is serene. It's very entertaining and appreciative of, you know, the melodies and those wonderful voices that we hear in the background there.
I want to crave your indulgence because I have a brother out of St. Lucia. He has passed down to the great beyond. And he paid a tribute to my friend, the late, great Tim Hector, who also has gone to the great beyond. But he gave one of the greatest speeches that I ever heard. So I'm going to play it. It's a little lengthy, but bear with me because I love to hear this brother talk. So pay attention, folks.
The former Foreign Minister of St. Lucia, Mr. George Odlum.
I come to bury Hector, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones, so let it be with Hector. I have no record of evil in the life of Tim Hector, maybe mischief. But no evil. Let the catalogue of his goodness be interred with his bones. Dear brother and comrade in arms, I have no need to praise you, since our friendship and our lives together has been a mutual hosanna of praise in acceptance and affirmation of the principles we stood for and the values we espouse. We did this in the face of tremendous odds and spirited opposition from a society whose philistinism has become a byword. Ironically, you lived and died in the pursuit of a body of values which were meant to elevate a Caribbean society and forge a creative and dynamic people out of the detritus which history had bequeathed on us. You fought to explain that history and analyze it in the interest of the ordinary man and woman. But the forces of reaction were strongly arrayed against you. My colleague and friend, St. Lucia's Nobel laureate, Derek Walcott, insists that if you give a man an education or a gun, you lose an honest laborer. What Walcott was trying to convey was that education had the power to transform dross into fine metal. It elevated, it aroused, and it empowered man to reach for otherwise unattainable heights. This was your vision, that if you persisted in fanning the flames of enlightenment, that your fellow Caribbean man and woman would see the shooting star of liberation and emancipation and reach for the skies. As you lie there, motionless and still, in your fine, resplendent mahogany casket, I cannot help but feel a sense of mockery that the same society which vilified and ridiculed you when your strident voice embarrassed them with your message and your clarion calls is the same society that will embrace and elevate you now that your mighty heart is lying still. Where is the logic in this, my brother? Are we so crazed with insecurity and self-abnegation that we court our own disaster and demise by destroying the catalyst for our liberation? When Othello in Shakespeare murdered his own loving Desdemona, Shakespeare wrote, "Like a base Indian, he threw away a pearl richer than all his tribe. Today, as I contemplate your mortality, brother, I cannot suppress the insistent feeling that the people of Antigua, and to a lesser extent, the people of the Caribbean, have thrown away a pearl richer than all their tribe. This is a serious accusation to make against a society that had turned out in large numbers to pay homage to this dead Viking. But many of you stood by over the years and witnessed the victimization and demoralization of Tim Hector and never lifted a finger to prevent it. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified Tim Hector? Were you there? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there? Were you there when they dragged him to the court? Were you there? Were you there when they dumped him in prison for his views? Were you there? Were you there when they burnt his printing press? Were you there? Were you there when they murdered his dear wife, Era? Were you there? Were you there when the ballot process was contaminated to declare him a loser? Were you there? Were you there when they denied this prophet any honor in his own country? Were you there? My brother, you have loved too much to have suffered so much in a society that you devoted your life to change for a people that you love so much. But there's no room for regret in the straitened confines of your coffin, because love is the revolutionary's credo. And if we must reach for Walcott again, love is the stone speech that outlives both ash and mourning. Love is the stone speech that outlives both ash and mourning. Now I must contemplate the prospect of a life without the edifying discourses that we shared trying to put the world to rights. I will miss the shared brilliance of your intellect, which I always felt to be about the best in the entire Caribbean, even surpassing the brilliance of the closet intellectual, who were always too timid and too pusillanimous to ply their wares in the marketplace. Your battles were open, fearless, and committed. There the intellectuals looked from a distance and might well have supported your positions, but couldn't afford the terror of facing an establishment which was more interested in quenching fires than in fanning flames. In all this, your contribution to Antigua and to the entire Caribbean has been phenomenal. Your championship of Caribbean integration has been sustained and unchanging, and never turned on the vagaries of politics or political opportunism. It was such a delight for me to hear you ridiculed as a one percenter who could only attract a negligible amount of store-bought votes, and yet to see you soar to great heights in defending the calumnies against those whom you fought so fiercely. In your mahogany silence today, there must be time to reflect with me on the achievements of half a century of struggle. Were your gargantuan efforts at educating the public, enlightening the youth, providing a role model for integrity and honesty, realized in the type of society we are leaving behind? Many lives were claimed in the struggle for liberation and integration. Morris succumbed. Walter fell. Michael passed on. Rosie expired. And now you are about to enter the Valhalla for fallen strugglers. You have left behind a desperately divided society, bereft of values, overcome by consumerism, a crippling materialism, rudderless and floundering youth, and a hopelessness that saps the creative energy that we fought to excite. Fortunately, you have left behind a loving wife and a family who have endured your suffering and will stand by your principles. But my dear brother, do not be too complacent in your casket. Do not go gentle into the dark night. Rage, rage against the passing of the light. Rage into the consciousness of the young, that they too will be moved to keep the fire burning and fan the flame for humanity. See you soon in Valhalla.
Well said, George Ottman, the former foreign affairs minister of St. Lucia. Have you heard that before, Dennis?
Yes, thank you. I have to say, rich eloquence with tribute to the greatest writer, author, poet, William Shakespeare. I have no doubt that his eulogy referred to his departed friend. Thank him for a rousing tribute to a leader of substance from Antigua.
Yes, he wrote, Fan the Flames in newspaper named the outlet. He was in class with me at the St. John's Boys School. He was one of the greatest artists coming out of the island. And he just rose to prominence, but he's one of the few who might have been the Prime Minister of Antigua, but he never reached the heights. But let's continue. Yes. Let's continue as we play the carpenter out, the poor brothers out of need.
Carpenter by trade, and even though he was the Son of God, he worked and he went away. And as he ascended, those around him heard him say, I'll prepare a place and come again and take you home today. For 2,000 years he's been working on a place where we will live eternally. Words can't explain, minds can't contain what waits in for me. This world my own great mansion, but he holds the world in his hands, and the carpenter from Nazareth built me a home in Goliland. You might own the greatest home there is in the land, and the world of goods that you own may be the envy of every man, but all of this will pass away, and the only thing that will stand is what the carpenter from Nazareth has built in Goliland. For 2,000 years he's been working on a place where we will live eternally. Words can't explain, minds can't contain what's waiting there for me. This world might own great mansion, but he holds the world in his hands, and the carpenter from Nazareth built me a home in Goliland. We will live eternally.
Around me, in the eye of the storm. and I just don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet. I did my best, now I'm scared to death that we might lose everything. And when a sickness takes my child away and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. In the middle of a war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Yes, in the eyes of the storm. This was another wonderful rendition. Waiting for some more lovely music coming up from Leon. Leon, what have you got on the table for us next? The Eye of the Storm. I know I've heard that several times, and each time it still has a great deal of meaning entered it. But we are looking forward to having a few more. Maybe not necessarily from the same source, but
yes. Next one up. I thank you for that. I was on mute while I was talking to you. Yes, I Am the Storm by Ryan Stevenson. And the next up is Full to Me by Theo Thorne. And she is my loving niece over there of Central Florida. Good morning, Theo. Give me a text. Give me a hit. Hook me up there, my dear. Love you so much. You're such a darling. Here she sings. Faithful to me. Not to me, but the Almighty.
Every tear, be the God.
Lake here in Central Florida. Just say good morning to Ivor. Tennessee's on. I don't know if he's in a position to say hello, but we had the mic open for him, so just say good morning to him.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I got in just in time to hear one of my favorite singers, Theo Thorn, that melodious voice, voice of an angel.
Yes, indeed. I just wanted to introduce her to Dennis first.
Good morning,
Dennis.
Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Dennis. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Now, I take it you're on duty today?
I'm on duty, but not umpiring duty, on the field, off the field at this time. Tomorrow I'll be on.
Okay. Yeah. Look forward to some of these games. Thank you for taking part and promoting this game.
Okay.
By all means.
Indeed. I just want to bring up this next song, My Help, by Mark Buswick. As he calls himself, I've never heard it, but I believe I love it. So listen as he plays this song. My help. I'll play it again sometime. But I know I would never could complete this song without getting some earful from Dennis if I hadn't played Shirley Caesar. So, listen to Dennis, your favorite, Shirley Caesar. She calls this one No Child.
Thank you. to the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping her hands on an apron, she took it in her hands and she read it, and this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. If I'm making up my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. And playing with little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the trash, $1. And for getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there and expecting, and 1,000 memories flashed through her mind. So she picked up the pen and turned the paper over, and this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, for the time and the tears and the cost through the years, there is no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. For the nights filled with gray and the worries ahead, no charge. No charge, son. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Well, you know, when I think about that, I think about the day that Jesus went out on Calvary and gave his life as a ransom for me. When I think on the words, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I like to think of the very minute that he shedded his blood, my debt was paid in full. I want you to know today, when you add it all up, the full cost of real love is no charge.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. As we get out of here, you're going to play one by the Plains Orchestra. It goes by the name of Victory in Jesus. The Plains Orchestra.
I heard about his healing, of his cleansing.
Heard something from Ivor, so you want to come in. So we are going to be thankful for this moment that we shared with the Lord this morning. I hope that those of you who had the privilege of hearing it get something to make your day. As we usually do over the past years, this morning I enjoyed playing the tunes for you. And Dennis, I'm sure you're happy with some of the selection I gave, not all of them. So I diversified a little with the George Odlam, which is something I never really ever not wanting to hear George Odlam, and that tribute to the late great Tim Hector. He died in 2002, November, and I will always remember him. So as we do that, I'm sure you are prepared, and I've don't know if you're in a position to give us the birthday hour and the day in history later. I don't know.
No. Cardinal should be able to do that. But I'll come in a little later. I'm gonna put myself in a position where I can make a contribution.
All right. Thank you.
I put up my hand.
Dennis, what we're gonna do, we're gonna ask you to do your number. You have something in the minor leagues that you want to say, but let me introduce you because DJ Bravo is on stage, and he doesn't want to come off.
Champion, 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 champion
And now here is Dennis. Come on in, Dennis.
Yes, good morning to you out there in Radio Land. I'm happy to bring you this morning the minor league information that we have to date. Some matches are ongoing today. The Toyota Minor League in cooperation with Cricket USA. So here we have today, Saturday, August the 21st. Some of these matches are due to start at 10 a.m. and others later on in the day. So here we go. Atlanta Fire is at home to Orlando Galaxy at the Cummings Field in Georgia. Atlanta Param Veers at home to Florida Beamers. Atlanta Cricket Fields in Cumming, Georgia, 10 a.m. start. Empire State Titans against the New Jersey Stallions at Hull Athletic Complex in Somerset, New Jersey, 10 a.m. start. Manhattan Yorkers against the Philadelphians, Idlewild Park, Rosedale, New York, 10 a.m. Chicago Blasters against Chicago Catchers, BPL Cricket Stadium, Bolingbrook, Illinois, 10 a.m. start. Michigan Cricket Stars against St. Louis Americans, Lynn Oaks venue, Wixom, Michigan, 10 a.m. start. Golden State Grizzlies against the Silicon Valley Strikers at Arroyo Park, Davis, California, 10 a.m. start. Hollywood Master Blasters against the SoCal Lashings, then Woodley Park, Van Nuys in California, 10 a.m. start. The New Jersey Stallions against New Jersey Somerset Cavaliers at the Hull Athletic Complex, Somerset, New Jersey, 2 p.m. start. St. Louis Americans against Michigan Cricket Stars and at Lynn Oaks, Wixom, Michigan. Now, this is a 2 p.m. start. Golden State Grizzlies against Bay Blazers at Arroyo Park, Davis, California, another 2 p.m. start. And the Fort Lauderdale Lions against Morrisville Cardinals, Church Street Park, Morrisville, North Carolina. And the match is on tap for Sunday, August 22nd. Atlanta Fire against the Florida Beamers, the away team, playing at Atlanta Cricket Fields, Cummings, Georgia, 10 a.m. start. Atlanta Param Veers playing against Orlando Galaxy at the Atlanta Cricket Fields, Cummings, Georgia, 10 a.m. start. Remember, these last games are Sunday, August the 22nd. Empire State Titans against the Philadelphians, Idlewild Park, Rosedale, New York, 10 a.m. start. Morrisville Cardinals against Fort Lauderdale Lions, Church Street Park, Morrisville, North Carolina. This is an 11 a.m. start. The D.C. Hawks against Manhattan Yorkers, Veterans Memorial Park, Woodbridge, Virginia, 2 p.m. start. Empire State Titans against New Jersey Somerset Cavaliers, Rosedale, New York, at the Idlewild Park, another 2 p.m. start. And the final game that I have for tomorrow, Sunday the 22nd, Silicon Valley Strikers against the Bay Blazers at the Morgan Hill Outdoor Sports Complex, Morgan Hill, California. That is a 2 p.m. start. Now, I will follow that up with week four standings of the teams in the Toyota Minor League at the moment. So in the week four standing in Group Central Division, we have Houston Hurricanes top of the table with 24 points. Second, we have Austin Athletics with 22 points. Third, we have Michigan Stars with 14 points. Fourth, we have Irving Mustang, again, 14 points. St. Louis American follows with 8 points. Chicago Blasters with 6 points. And number 7 in that group, that's the Chicago Catchers, and they are currently without any points. Now, we go to the Western Division. Team number 1, top of that table, we have Golden State Grizzlies with 16 points. They are undefeated at the moment, followed by Silicon Valley Strikers, who are also on 16 points, but they played one game more than the Grizzlies. Bay Blazers played 4 matches, and they have 12 points. And next we have Seattle Thunderbolts, played 7, 12 points. And they, too, are undefeated. Seattle Thunderbolts, they've lost 4 of their 7 matches, and they have 12 points. SoCal Lashings are 8 points with 2 victories and 2 defeats. And second from the bottom, San Diego Surf Riders, played 7, won 2, lost 5. They have 8 points. And bringing up the bottom of the table, we have the Hollywood Master Blasters, played 5. They've lost all 5, and they are without points. Now we go to the Southern Division. This is the Week 4 standings. Morrisville Cardinals lead the table with 16 points from 6 matches, having lost 2. Atlanta Fire is next with 8 points from 3 matches, having lost 1. Orlando Galaxy is 3rd in that table, played 3. They have 4 points. They've lost 1 and 2 no results, so they gain extra points for those. Florida Beamers is 4th, having played 5. They've lost 4 and 1 no results, put them on 2 points. And second from the bottom, Fort Lauderdale Lions, played 2, lost 2, 0 points. And at the bottom of the Southern Division, Atlanta Paramveers, played 3, lost 3, so they too are bringing up the rear with no points. And the Eastern Division, we have New Jersey Stallions, played 7, lost 2, have 20 points at the top of the table, followed by Manhattan Yorkers, 4 matches, won all 4. They have 16 points. And third in the table, DC Hawks, played 7, won 4, lost 3. They too have 16 points. Fourth in that table is the New Jersey Somerset Cavaliers, played 6, won 3, lost 3, 12 points. Next comes the Philadelphians, played 6, won 3, lost 3, also on 12 points. Second from the bottom, Empire State Titans, played 4, won 2, lost 1. They have 10 points, also won no result, so they gain extra points. New England Eagles bring up the table at the very bottom. Played 6, won 2, lost 4, and they have 8 points. Now, the matches have been going very well, very smoothly, and I have to say I've been enjoying those matches that I'm able to catch on the YouTube channel. Now, we have a few bowling leaders in the Pacific Conference. This is the published list. We have Kartik Gallipalli, who has 13 wickets for an average of 10.7. Number 2 is Usman Rafiq, who has 12 wickets at 13.9 average. Number 3, Najam Iqbal, 11 wickets, 9.3 average. Laksh Parikh is number 4, 11 wickets also, average of 10.0. Number 5, Vatsal Vagela, 10 wickets, 6.1 average. Number 6, Matthew Ford, 10 wickets, 12.1 average. Number 7, Shadley Van Schalwijk, 9 wickets, 11.8. Number 8, Sarab Netravalkar, 8 wickets, 7.5. 9, Khalid Zadram, 8 wickets, 10.3. And Abir Tipper at number 10, 8 wickets with 18 points. Now, those are the leading 10 bowlers in the Pacific Conference. And I have to wrap things up. The Pacific Conference batting leaders, Andres Goose, he has a total of 273 runs with an average of 39. Number 2 is Jacobus Pienaar, has runs 249, average of 41.5. Number 3 is Willem Luddick. Total runs 219 with an average of 36.5. Number 4, Marty Kane, 216 runs with an average of 36. Number 5, Ryan Scott, 206 runs at 41.2 average. Number 6 is Sri Krishna A, 198 runs, average 28.2. Number 7 is Shehan Jayasuriya, 192 runs, average of 38. Number 8, Nitish Kumar, 186 runs, average 31.0. 9 is Rayan Khan Pathan, 162 runs, 27.8. And finally, number 10 in the Pacific Conference batting leader is Cody Chetty, 166 runs, an average of 33.2. I apologize, but I do not have the other conference stats, but I'm sure the next time we have them, we will get them to you, our listeners. And once again, I encourage you to tune in where you can. Some matches start at 10, others at 2. And there's some great matches on tap. So come on in, listen, and enjoy this wonderful cricket courtesy of, Toyota Minor League and Cricket USA. Leon, this is back to you now at the end of my...
Thanks for that. I know you have put a great deal of work in compiling that presentation. Thank you for that. Let's welcome Cardinal. Good morning to you, Cardinal. Welcome. Folks are eager
good
to hear you.
Good morning. Good morning, Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Dennis. Good morning, Ivor. And good morning,
good morning, Cardinal.
And listeners. Well, it's a nice hot day here in the Caribbean with a little bit of overcast. Looking on, hopefully we'll get some rain. We have been getting quite a bit of rain from the weather conditions that have been set up in the Caribbean without any real consequences to be concerned about. But, the rain has been causing some damage in other parts of the Caribbean like Haiti, which also has suffered a major earthquake in the past week or so. And in the Dominican Republic, there was quite a bit of rain that caused some flooding. But over here in the Virgin Islands and Leeward Islands, we're pretty safe. We're pretty secure now from the rain. We have not sustained any major damages, any major incidents. So we're good.
Okay, Cardinal, thanks for that. And I'm sure you're tight on bringing the in history. Just after I just give a brief account of the sporting news.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay, let me just bring that.
Okay, briefly, go ahead.
Okay, this is August 21st.
the 223rd day of 2021. The birthdays for today. From England, we have Stan Worthington, Errol Holmes, Ken Taylor, Betty Archdale, who was the first captain, female captain of the English cricket team. They said her top score was 32 out of a score of 134 against Australia. They won the match anyway. And Doug Wright. In the West Indies, you have Keith Semple from Guyana. From India, we got Chandrasekhar. Remember Chandrasekhar, the man who Viv Richards said he was so afraid of. From Australia, you have Simon Cattich. From the Netherlands, Peter Boren. And from Zimbabwe, Solomon Meyer. From Sri Lanka, Chris Adeas. And from Jamaica, the legendary Usain Bolt, the sprinter. You have the musician and singer Kenny Rogers in 1938. Princess Margaret of Britain in 1930, born in 1930. The late actor Clarence Williams III from the Mad Squad, born in 1939. An American basketball player and Hall of Famer, Wilt Chamberlain, born in 1936. Baseball's John Wetland and from the New York Yankees. Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google. Casey Musgraves, country singer. And Kublai Khan, 1264, Kublai Khan accepts the surrender of his brother, Arya Boke of Xanadu, at the end of the Mongolian Civil War. In 1321, 160 Jews of Chicon, France, were burned at the stake. In 1541, the Ottoman Turks under Suleiman the Magnificent captured Budge, the capital of the Hungarian kingdom, and go on to dominate central Hungary for 150 years. In 1831, former enslaved revolutionary Nat Turner leads his uprising against slavery by demolishing the plantation was called, I don't remember his name, Harper's Ferry Plantation. It is said that when they finally caught up with Nat Turner, and they started prosecuting him, they asked him if he was guilty. Turner said, "Look, why should I say I'm guilty? I don't feel guilty. And if I had the chance, I'll do it again." That's a great man, Nat Turner. He was also assisted by John. Look, I'm forgetting the name. Anyway, I'll probably remember it at some later time. You know, senior citizenship sets in at some point. Okay.
Are we speaking of John?
John Hampton attends the Venetian Blind in 1841. 1878, Surrey wicketkeeper Ted Pooley completes a then first-class cricket record of 8 stumpings in a county match against Kent at the Oval. In 1888, American inventor William Seward Borrows patents the adding machine. In 1897, Oldsmobile manufactured its first motor vehicle in Lansing, Michigan. In 1911, the famous painting called the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre. That's a museum in France. And it was finally recovered in 1914. In 1931, Yankee slugger Babe Ruth becomes the first Major League Baseball player to hit a career 600 home runs. In 1938, Italy bars all Jewish teachers in public and and high schools in 1955. Emmett Till, you remember the youngster who was murdered, who was lynched in Mississippi in 1955, lived in Chicago, came for a vacation in Mississippi to visit relatives, and was considered a threat and accused of sussing a white woman, and he was lynched. He was taken from his bed and lynched. During his funeral, his mother said, "Do not cover the coffin. I want the world to see what this nation is capable of." In 1959, Hawaii, after annexation, after it was being annexed, became the 50th U.S. state. Hawaii, remember, was invaded in 1893 when the U.S. Marines, with the assistance of plantation owners and the aristocracy in Hawaii, overthrew the legitimate indigenous leader, Queen, and now I'm forgetting her name as well, and just took the land. Another expression of the white man's theme, I have absolute right to occupation of this earth. Whatever I want, I can take. Finally, they made Hawaii a state in 1959. While they invaded Hawaii, they recognized that it was a nice spot to situate themselves in order to control the South Pacific and all its resources, which would include the South Pacific and Southeast Asia and the Pacific, which include Japan and things. So Japan, so when we got to 1945, and we see the bombing of Pearl Harbor, that was a Japanese resistance to U.S. aggression in the Pacific. Nothing more than that. So next time somebody tries to tell you that Japan was a part of the world, the European conflict that they call the World War, that information is incorrect. Jomo Kenyatta, in 1961, a Kenyan political activist, revolutionary, and leader, was released from prison after being imprisoned by the white regime after the 1952 Mau Mau rebellion. And you don't even want to hear about the response that the Europeans gave to the Mau Mau rebellion. When Kenyatta was in hiding, they murdered people because these people felt that these people knew where Kenyatta was and was insane. They cut the children, they cut unborn fetuses from the belly pregnant African women in order to find Jomo Kenyatta. He later became the president of Kenya between 1964 and 1978, when he died. In 1968, the Democratic Convention opened in Chicago and went on to nominate Hubert Humphrey as their presidential candidate. Remember, Hubert Humphrey, I think, was Lyndon Johnson's vice president. In 1968, Marion James Anderson Jr. is the first African-American to win a Medal of Honor in the military. 1968, Warsaw Pact forces complete their invasion of Czechoslovakia by arresting the Czech leader Alexander Dubček and forcing him to sign the Moscow Protocol. In 1983, the Philippines opposition leader Benito Aquino is assassinated after returning home from a self-imposed exile in the United States. Many people accused the then president, Fernando Marcos, of assassinating Aquino. Marcos himself was later deposed, and Aquino's wife became president of the Philippines. In 1986, lethal gas from the volcanic lake Nyos in the Cameroons, West Africa, killed every living thing within a 15.5-mile radius, including 1,500 people within the affected area, because this gas contains high levels of carbon dioxide, hydrogen, and sulfur. A complete recipe for a mix of hydrogen sulfide, which is deadly poison. In 1996, six United Nations trucks plowed through the mud, bringing 8,000 Rwandan refugees back to Rwanda, where they had left 2 years before. And we all, you know, who were around at the time would not forget the massive slaughter that took place in Rwanda out of a conflict between two groups, the Hutus and the Tutsis. Up to now, we still don't understand what the conflict was about. But however, Paul Kagame has brought Uganda under into a peaceful state, and Rwanda is now considered to be one of the fastest growing economies on the African continent. I'm hoping that, you know, President Kagame can continue. You know, he was presented, when he took over the reins in Rwanda, the Western countries presented him as a warlord. They wanted to subject him to the International Criminal Court, which of course has only prosecuted black revolutionary leaders. In 1998, the separatist quest for independence by the French-speaking Quebec was unanimously turned down by the Canadian Supreme Court, which declared that Quebec has no legal right to declare its independence from Canada. In 2004, U.S. swimmer Michael Phelps gets his sixth gold medal at the Athens 2004 Olympics, when the USA wins the 4x100 medley relay, finally breaking the world record at the same time. In 2008, protests were held in Swaziland, I should say the capital, by hundreds of women who were protesting a shopping trip by the nine wives of the king. By the way, Swaziland is still a country where you can go and, you know, live happily with a number of your wives and not be committing a crime. The women were protesting this shopping trip by the king's wives. You know, they were shopping out of the thing, and they considered the poverty of people in Swaziland as a legitimate cause to protest the king's wives' shopping. In 2011, an earthquake with a magnitude of 7.1 struck off the coast of the South Pacific Islands of Vanuatu. There was no reported damage or injuries, but the island experienced several shocks afterwards that created the possibility of a localized tsunami. And in 2013, the U.S. soldier, Bradley Manning, he's now changed his name to Chelsea Manning, and I think he's one of those people like that, for whom the word transgender is used. Okay. He was sentenced to 35 years in prison because he was accused of sharing sensitive information, WikiLeaks. Now, WikiLeaks, you know, is the program that the United States, the Britain, and the entire regime, white supremacy regime, is after, because it exposed the chief executive, the United States. It exposed the United States for its atrocities that it committed in areas that it claimed to its population that it went to protect. There we go. So both Chelsea Manning was punished for participating or sometimes interacting with WikiLeaks. And you would also know that Julian Assange has been, his extradition has been attempted. He lived in the embassy in Ecuador in England for years until the government in Ecuador changed and expelled him. So he's now in prison, and this information is coming out that, hey, you know, there's more to this than meets the eye. You will also remember a young man by the name of Snowden, who now lives in Russia, who was also accused of a crime because he exposed the dirtiness of the U.S. in foreign lands. That's it for the day, folks. Those are the events that we remember for August 20th.
Thank you for that, Patrick. Very detailed.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for that. Let me just briefly give just a little bit of sports we have lined up for you. So tell you what we're going to do tomorrow. Well, we want to tell you that West Indies versus Pakistan, the second test match. Pakistan at 212 for 4 after losing 3 wickets before they reached 10 runs. At the end of day 1, 212 for 4. Play will resume at 11 o'clock today. Just want to say Ryan Scott, he became the first player in the major or minor league to score a century. Dennis, I don't know if you've heard that.
I'm here.
He scored a century. First player to score a century. And over in England, India, really having their chops up, they're licking their chops as it were, having defeated England in the first test match. India 364 and 298 for 8. England 391 and 120. And believe you me, if you were to see the ball that Siraj bowled Anderson with, there's nothing to make me believe. I believe that ball went through the bat and bowling because the defense perfect. But the ball has got to go through the bat. I've never seen it. And if anybody can say differently, tell me. But my feeling is that ball has to go through the bat. Because everything was perfect. When I hear rattle, his off stumps were gone. And Anderson was still on the post, thinking that he had a good defense. Yeah, well, the Men's World Cup is due. Some 49 T20 matches are going to be played from October the 17th. To November the 4th. West Indies, they are due to play their first match October the 21st versus England. We're going to tell you more about that because we know that we have some other news about that. We're going to turn our attention to the CPL. And CPL, of course, folks, we talk about it on the 26th. We'll start until August the 26th to September the 15th. August the 26th to September the 15th. And some other news coming out of St. Lucia. They now will be called the St. Lucia Kings. Remember now the Barbados changed the name from the Tridents to the Royals. Now the Duke's name has been changed to St. Lucia Kings. Not lots of Indian teams, franchises are being sold out. The franchise for the CPL are being sold out to the Indian Premier League franchises over there in India. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Who knows? The 100, just to tell you who are on top, for the men, the Birmingham Phoenix and in second place, the seven braves. More details are forthcoming tomorrow. The women, the 100 women, sees the seven braves on top, followed by the over invincibles. And the cricket schedules will tell you all about that tomorrow, but the big news is that the Olympic, a star-studded cast of 2020 Olympians, track and field medalists, they'll be back in action. Wanda Diamond League meet in Eugene, Oregon this weekend. And the Jamaican female sprint trio, Elaine Thompson, Herat, and Shelly-Ann Fraser, and Sharika Jackson will be powering after winning that historic 1-2-3 finish in the Olympics, is going to be taking on Sha'Carri Richardson, lady who was found guilty of using a piece of marijuana, and she was eliminated from the team. So we look forward to see what will be the outcome of that great race with the three great Jamaicans and being challenged by Sha'Carri Richardson in Oregon later today. And CPL groundsmen over in St. Kitts, they are doing some hectic work trying to get that CPL ready. Some everyday matches are going to be played, so what a work that they have had to encounter to make sure they have the grounds ready every day, starting the 26th to the 15th of September. 26th of August, this next week. Well, whatever it is, I don't envy them at all. And finally, my favorite part of my sports report is about the EPL, the English Premier League, Division 1. Manchester United, they're on top, followed by whose team? Leon's team, Chelsea, in second place, just beating up on Liverpool on a goal difference, I guess. Liverpool are in third place, followed by West Ham, Everton, Brentford. Brentford did a number on whom? Did a number on somebody?
On Arsenal.
Arsenal get a licking from Brentford. Watford, Bright, Leicester City, Tottenham, Aston Villa, Burnley in that order. And Manchester City down under, followed by Wolves, Newcastle, Southampton, Arsenal in seventh position. And in the relegation zone, we have Crystal Palace, Norwich, and Leeds. So looking forward. And the big news that the Paris Saint-Germain, their forward, Kylian Mbappe, he is scheduled to do Leeds. There's talk about his transferring to Manchester United. No, we got the superstars there over in Paris Saint-Germain. And, of course, they may be looking to ease up some of the load and the payroll. And that's about it for us from the sports. We just invite you to be with us tomorrow. And Dennis, I'd like to ask you to say a few words on the guests that we have lined up for tomorrow. And I'm sure you have a little bit to talk about them.
Yes, we're having two guests tomorrow who hails from the San Diego Cricket Club and San Diego Surf Riders. These two gentlemen, Jimmy Anclesario, who's a professor, philanthropist, and lecturer, cricket enthusiast, commentator, player. He's well-established in the local area, and Gangaram Singh, who's also a provost at one of the major universities. They are have been instrumental in the formulation of the San Diego Cricket Club and the San Diego Surf Riders minor league teams. So we're hoping to have them with us tomorrow for what we consider a little fireside chat, where they'll share with us some of their experiences of, you know, how they developed the team and the club and so on, and more about local cricket. So we're looking forward to our guests tomorrow, Sunday.
And just to tell the folks that we have quite a few guests lined up, and of course we have some technical issues that are preventing the invitation to be sent to these guests, and until we get it straightened out, I've made a report to Blog Talk and they're looking into it. We have some other technical difficulties, so we just want to make sure that we have them. So Richie is due to be back after the series is over. He's going to be scheduled to be back with us. And of course, Barbara Coates, the young lady aspiring to become Antigua's president of the Antigua and Barbuda Association. She's due to be back with us as soon as we get technical difficulties ironed out, because she was due to be on last week, but for some unforeseen reason, we're not getting into the invitation in. So we have quite a few down the line, so just to name those few that are going to be on with us. We hope that you'll be able to join us. And thank you so much, gentlemen, for details that you have brought this morning, in history, and of course, the minor league. And we're going to switch it off for a while. Let me just tell you that we are happy to have each of us. Just want to open the conversation this morning, but before that, let's ask Cardinal to greet his fans and well-wishers around the world. You know, he has many, and of course. And I don't know if Dennis has any, but Cardinal has some. He used the hail of this morning. Cardinal, over to you.
Well, you know, they're just my fans. By default, they're actually fans of the entertainment show on Saturday morning, and you know, me being on it, I get to greet them. They are the ones, they are the special fans, because they are the ones who call in and let us know how well we're doing or how well we're not doing, because you know, we want to always keep a great show for the fans around the world. So I'm going to say good morning to the people up in New York, Mertris, Donna, Ina, Sharon, and Lady Babs Nisbet. Good morning to you up there in New York. You've got nice warm weather now, maybe too warm for you, but hey, you're working with it. I know that. You're going to make happy with everything. Soon the cool, you know, it's going to be Labor Day and the cool is going to come around and you're going to party. Okay, maybe you're going to party. I don't know how. With all this coronavirus stuff going around, you got to be careful how you party. Anyway, you know, we always wish you the best, the fans up in New York, because they think that they are the best. So whatever you think about them, they got that covered. I'm going to go on over to St. Martin. I'm going to say good morning to Irma Thompson. And once more, since the month of August is not done yet, I'm going to say good happy birthday to Irma and Carlos. They celebrated on the 1st and the 8th, but so to Carlos on the 1st, Irma on the 8th. Good morning to you over there in St. Martin. And happy birthday to Irma and Carlos. All the fans in St. Martin, you know, they deal with the coronavirus stuff the right way. They party. They get it going on. And it looks like they're not telling the rest of us the secret. I'm going to go on up to St. Kitts, because over there in St. Kitts, they're having protests, as they are also doing in Antigua, about this mandatory policy on vaccination or people losing their jobs. So people are having problems, and they're walking into the streets, and they are standing in the streets as we usually do, and voicing their opinions as we usually do. And the governments are sending out their security forces to interrupt and suppress this peaceful expression of displeasure with the actions of the government. Wow. I keep wondering, do people really envision what a free and just society looks like? And if so, why aren't we having a protest against this imposition on human liberty and human expression? Well, my best regards to the people, the protesters over there in St. Kitts. Every element of oppression should be resisted. It is legitimately so. So, to the people of St. Kitts and to Lynette, Good morning. Lynette over there in Sinkett, hoping that it will all end peacefully and with all of us knowing what human rights are. I'm going to go on over to Nevis. I'm going to say good morning to Mr. Renford Doerr and his staff over there at 2020 Vision Radio, particularly to Carmen Lady C. Griffin. Good morning to you. I'm going to go across to the UK where I'm going to say good morning to Omel. And Omel just heard Leon talk about the position of Liverpool. And I already know what he's going to say. She's going to say, tell Leon, it's very early yet. I know that. But good morning, Omel. And yesterday was Omel's birthday. Happy birthday, Omel. And good morning to you over there in Britain. And I got to also say good morning to Omel's daughter, Michelle, a fantastic young lady. How about her granddaughter, Jade? Good morning to you. Hoping that you're having a great day over there in Britain. I'm going to go on across the channel where I'm going to say good morning to the people in Fort Lauderdale, particularly to Elimat. Hey, King Elimat, that is. We need some college souls on this virus and vaccine and all this kind of thing, Elimat. Call us and we're gonna ask you to help us out on what we need. Good morning, Elimat. Hope the brother is meeting his own health challenges, and we are always with him. Good morning to Marvel Jones and my favorite celebrity, Tiffany, and little brother Malik and little sister Tanaya. I'm going to go on down to the southwest Miami, where I'm going to say good morning to Jerome Cutner Richardson. I wonder what Cutner got to say about this protest that's going on in St. Kitts. I figure Cutner's going to say, well, that's not in Sandy Point, so I'm all right. Good morning, Cutner, the man down there in the southwest who comes to you down there by way of Sandy Point. Hoping that you and the friends down there in the Cutler Ridge area are enjoying your show. Come on in. It's great. I'm going to go on up to Georgia, where I'm going to say good morning to Monique, Barbara, and Yvette in Georgia. And additionally to Tremaine. You know, with her own challenges, Charmaine is doing pretty well. I'm learning a few new words, Charmaine. I'm learning a few new terms to meet these challenges. Charmaine, as you go through these, just tell yourself, you are healing. Good morning to you. I'm going to go on over to Jersey, where I'm going to say good morning to my dear sister, Yvonne. Good morning, Yvonne. Okay. I tell you. She keeps me up to date. Hoping that you are still having that great smile on your face in spite of all. And good morning to all the fans, friends, supporters of the entertainment show. Come on in. The weather is always warm enough. And we've got sunshine. Leon's going to gather a great show for you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Leon. Let me see if Ivan needs to come in because he's a busy man. I don't know if he has time to say anything before I play a special tune for Carlos and Irma Thompson. Ivan, you're up if you wish to say anything before we bring in a song. Okay. No? Oh, no can do. Ivan is a busy man. So let's play this one for Irma and Carlos. Enjoy your birthday.
Don't forget Omel. She celebrated yesterday.
And Omel too. Yeah, Omel. Omel as well.
So, Leon, cueing this song for us, we're getting excited to hear.
Yes. Dennis, you're saying something?
Yes, we are waiting for your lovely music you're about to regale us with.
Oh, not coming through? Okay. Sorry about that.
Then. Coming through. Yes. We are still not hearing anything from this side.
Okay.
Wondering, has it fell into a void? Where is it gone? We are playing in honor of the birthdays. So, you know, the birthday folks are listening, waiting.
Happy.
Episode. Just want to say happy, happy birthday to all three of you. May you live to see many more years of joy, happiness, and joy. May God continue to bless you.
Happy birthday to you.
All right, Cardinal, over to you. Your final thoughts before we move on to a topic. I know you want to say something about Irma, Omen, and Carlos.
Looks like Cardinal's taking a break.
Yeah, Cardinal is not with us either. Okay, well, Dennis, I know you had something you said you want to share with us this morning. I have a couple too, but I don't think that is the
okay. Okay, yeah, I muted a little bit because I had some noise around me.
Okay.
Okay, it's okay now.
Yeah, tell us a little about Carlos and Irma, because I'm Omen, right?
Huh?
No, we want to hear you say something about something nice about Omen, Irma, and Carlos. You know,
well,
people like
you know
nice things about them on their birthday.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of nice things to say, but I usually tell it to them directly. You know, sometimes when you say nice things about people publicly, it gives them a little sense of embarrassment. So I'm holding my comment.
Nice things should never make you embarrassed.
Well, it sometimes happens.
You know, just by saying happy birthday to someone, man, it just lifts your spirit. Just lift your spirit up. Oh, you remember my birthday? Goodness, that's so much. So much. Anyway.
I mean,
yeah, grateful for that.
There are a couple of things that I would like to look at. And one of them is the Shakari Richardson contest with the Jamaican singers.
Yeah,
I am really wondering what is the purpose of this.
Let's say hello to Phil and then come right back to you. Good morning, Phil. Good morning.
Okay.
Phil is a little noisy, so go ahead. Go ahead, Cardinal.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering what this contest is about. Now, I would have really liked to see, and I'm sure most fans would have really liked to see, how Shakari Richardson matches up against the Jamaican sprinters. In that regard, yes, and maybe it would give her, the young lady itself, the opportunity to build her own confidence, even if she lost against them. But if this is just a showcase for somebody else, I would be dead set against it. I don't know what the purpose is, so I'm not going to say anything about it yet. But I am willing to give it that chance to the extent that, you know, it might give Shakari Richardson a sense of consolation. Now, she was banned from participating in the Tokyo Olympics because they said she smoked marijuana. You remember when Botham was banned from the England team because he was accused of smoking marijuana.
And
when he came back, I think he came back against New Zealand, and the first ball he bowled, he got a wicket. So, you know, I mean, Ian Botham was their star player. They had not established yet that, you know, that marijuana either enhanced performance or otherwise, that have just created this scare around marijuana to criminalize it. And here we go again with Sister Carrie Richardson some 20-something years later, you know, still, you know, even though the health benefits of marijuana are known, 20 years later, you can't say that's a mistake, you know, when the information is out there that this young lady had to lose an opportunity to participate in an international event because of the, what should I call it, dinosaur mindset of the organizers. It is painful.
Oh, you thought they were, welcome Lynette and Phil. Good morning, Lynette.
We came on at the same time.
Yes.
Good morning, good morning.
Morning, Lynette, my dear. How are you?
I am good. Morning, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. No, you've made my day, you know. You've
made
my day.
Oh, wow. That's
okay,
lovely.
You're married to a doctor?
I'm a widow. My husband is deceased 5-6 years.
5-6 years. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they say the man dies before the wife always, you know.
Yeah.
Ah, they say what?
The man dies usually before the wife.
Oh, okay. In some cases, not all.
In most cases.
Hold it up, Phil.
Huh?
Go ahead.
She's better than a medical doctor.
Huh? What?
Better than a medical doctor, Phil.
I see.
Yeah, he was a banker.
He was a banker. Lord have mercy. So that's where you get all your money from. So you think you can buy me over? Huh? But you have to come up to America to live, you know, because I ain't going back to the Caribbean again.
Okay, then, Phil. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody. Morning, Cardinal.
Morning,
Leon and Dennis. Morning.
Good morning,
Lena.
We discussed about this Carrie Richardson's affair, you know.
Okay, yes. Okay, no problem. I'll be listening anyway.
Money thing. I believe it's money. Some money has to be passed. You know, if you win a gold medal, I think it was $37,000 if you win a gold. So I guess they have to pay her some money to enter that tournament. I don't think it's for free. She's a professional. So I guess somebody's forking out some good money for that place. And of course, Jamaica. And going there for any charity, they're going there for some big bucks. So it's money talk. That's what I feel. I don't know what you feel, Dennis.
Leon, on this one, I haven't got any information on this, and this is totally new to me. So I'm not sure exactly what is planned. So I'm going to play second fiddle on this one. And wait until I hear more about what is planned on this, because I have absolutely
you know,
no idea
Jamaicans what. The Jamaicans finished 1, 2, 3, and this young lady would have offered some great competition, but like she said, she smoked a little bit of marijuana, and they caught her, and they banned her for a week, and as a result of that, she was not able to go and represent the U.S. at the Olympics. Whether or not she would have won, I don't know. But, you know,
I have a question to ask you, Leon, when you finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is hemp marijuana?
Hemp? No, I think it's another type of plant.
No.
It's another plant, but not the same type. Hemp is different.
It's a cousin of marijuana? So
they're kind of like the same family, but the hemp, there's one family of hemp which is used to make rope primarily, and the other one is the one that is generally imbibed in one form or another. There's what they call the Indian hemp, which is not illegal to, you know, to have, I guess, but it's the other one that is considered illegal, or at least was considered illegal in a lot of places. It's now legal in most places.
But is that, it's a relation, is a relation to marijuana. It's a different type of marijuana. Would you say that?
It's the plant in name. It's like the same family, but of course they have different properties. Because the Indian hemp does not have the hallucinogenic properties and the other properties that commonly used in the marijuana, this imbibed version. That one is used strictly to make rope. So you can
grow rope.
Yeah, there's nothing in it that grows.
I can plant some of that in my backyard.
I'm sure you can, and as long as you're going to make rope with it. That's what it's good for.
Yeah. You know, because I hear on TBN, there's a Dr. Axe, I don't know if you know, AXE, who has been promulgating the idea of taking marijuana for certain things, for certain hemp. Hemp. But, you know, doctors have been putting a certain drug in the antidepressant tablets that we take. I forget the name of it. It's not hemp or marijuana. It's something else. It's a drug, though. And they put it in the medicine. It begins with N. N.
Okay. Or say, well, we don't know, but we will hear. Anything else further on that topic, Cardinal, before we ask Lynette to give us a report of what happened in St. Louis?
Not on that topic particularly, but on the Olympics overall. There were five African women who were excluded from participation in the Olympics because they decided... The organizers decided that their testosterone levels were too high.
Right.
And that, here it is, that gave them an unfair natural advantage. You could ever hear anything as confusing as an unfair natural advantage? Now, these women were Caster Semenya from South Africa, Beatrice Motsepe from Namibia, and Christine Mbona, also from Namibia, Francine Nyasaba from Burundi, Margaret Wambui from Kenya, all 18-year-olds who were denied participation in the Olympics because the Olympics committee decided that their testosterone levels were too high. Now, The rule itself was put in place to prevent, to determine whether what we call nowadays transgender people, I think that these are women who think, these are men who think they are women, from participating in women's sport. And the scientists who talked about higher testosterone levels, saying that their study they published an article in the British Journal of Medicine yesterday saying that their study was not meant to exclude women from female competition because, you know, higher testosterone levels. They said nothing about higher testosterone levels giving people an advantage in a race. You understand? So they created this thing and noticed that it only comes down against African women. And that is to be included. Now, the other thing that is really galling is that these committees, these Olympic committees, and the arbitration, which is like the Supreme Court of sport, international sports, denied Caster Semenya's appeal because these organizations are saying, okay, you got to go take drugs to lower your testosterone level, which means you, under their auspices, under their direction, must undertake what they give you to combat what nature affords to you. When I tell you that these people act as if that they are superior to God, that is the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
I have a question for you,
what
Cardinal.
What data has given you, it violates what we want, so we're going to give you something to combat what nature has given you. Isn't that
Cardinal,
an assault on nature?
Question for you, Cardinal.
Yes.
The basis for why were these women tested in the first instance? And why is this a test for all female in the Olympics?
They were tested because they were fast. And they were winning.
Mm.
That's why they were
so
tested.
Then they weren't all women in the Olympics are not tested.
No.
I don't know what they tested them for, but I know these women were tested and they determined that their testosterone levels were too high. I mean, when people go to the doctor, you know, all that information comes out when you get a complete physical. Okay? The doctor can tell you what your testosterone level is and all this kind of thing. You know? Because testosterone is essential for muscle growth. It's essential to transporting oxygen throughout the body. And higher levels means higher rates of oxygen being produced. So that's why these people can run longer races with the same speed for long periods of time. But that is their natural contribution. That is their contribution from nature. If I'm taller than you and my legs are longer than yours and we are in the same race, you know, do you say, okay, you need to cut out some of your legs because your legs too long and that's what causing you to win the race? That doesn't happen, does it? Or you can't compete in a race with other people because you are 3 inches taller and that 3 inches on your leg is giving you an unfair natural advantage. The ridiculousness of this whole thing is appalling. You can't believe that people are going to think like this in what is called, supposedly called, a civilized society. Where is the conscience and intelligence of these people if it's not overridden by their arrogance and the presupposition that they could stand in superiority to nature?
Dennis, you have a question for Cardinal before we bring
in? No, not really. I'm just curious because, you know, does that mean all winners of races are tested for testosterone levels, or did they just pick on these women because they happen
to
be
the winners, you know?
Dark?
You don't have to be winners. You know,
but is everyone tested? I mean, that's the point. Is it a discriminatory?
I think they do it at random. They do it at random. But I guess
it's a discriminatory practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it against certain people, people of African ancestry. It's there for you to see, clear and white. This guy from Poland says that Mboni shouldn't be so fast at 18 because he wasn't that fast.
Oh, come on. Usain Bolt has done wonders out there. And
but he has
men are not tested.
What?
Men are not tested for their testosterone level.
No,
but unless they have reason to believe these people are taking drug testosterone, then, there seems to be a lot of questions on why this practice is going on against these women. You know, unfortunately, I haven't read much about this, but it leaves a lot of questions unanswered, really.
Can we have a minute and we'll see the busy lady and start the morning? Lynette, anything special that
going on? Good morning.
Good morning again, yes.
Yes, good morning, yes. Well, we have a surge in our coronavirus cases. For the week, we've had like 137 cases. So we're up to 792 cases. We have 193 active. And we have CPL from next Thursday. I don't know what's going to happen. And then we had a protest. We had a protest last night. Went into the night until the police had to disperse.
Tell us about the protest. Did you have any tear gas?
Well, I didn't actually see it with my eyes. I saw videos on Facebook. It started off as a protest for the people who are unvaccinated and were dismissed from their jobs for not taking the vaccine. And then it just went into other things. And so I saw a video where the police had to throw tear gas at them, and so, but it went quite into the night. So, yeah, they had to use tear gas to break it up. So, but you know that could be a super spreader. So,
yeah,
we brace now to see what will come out of that, because there's quite a bit of people in town, and you know, and shouting and whatever.
Yes,
they arrested a couple of the young men and women too. So I don't know how many, but I heard the opposition leader, Dr. Denzel Douglas, was giving a speech. He said he was in front of the police station, and because they had locked up a few young men and women, and then while he was there, they brought in some others. But I don't have a figure to say, well, how many was locked up. I don't know. I don't know what has happened. I didn't get anything this morning. So that's as far as I know, but all of concern is about this rising, and we also have the Delta virus here now. It's confirmed. So, I don't know. But staying safe and being safe.
Yes, indeed.
Did you ask the question again?
No,
again?
Go ahead, Dennis. Dennis, go.
No, I was waiting for you to...
Not on that topic. Oh, but she's talking about what happened in St. Kitts, because I was just going to ask her whether or not the ladies were shackled like they were in Antigua. They were shackled at their legs.
No, I didn't see them shackled. They just took them right there. They were actually walked them wherever they were, to the van or whatever. No, they didn't put any shackles on them. From the videos that I saw. I don't know what happened outside of the video. But all in all, we are right. It's very overcast and very humid today. Outside of that, we're good.
You're good. Dennis, you had a question or Cardinal, you have a question?
About the protest in St. Kitts, there's protest in Antigua. There was protest in St. Vincent a couple of weeks ago.
Barbados.
Barbados.
Yeah.
There's a project in Barbados. And I think a protest is also brewing here in the Virgin Islands. You know, now this raises very strong human rights concerns. And with government stepping in, because I don't see that the police can legitimately just break up a protest just because it's a protest. I can't see the legitimacy of it. If the protest threatens life or property, yes, then that's what the security forces are for. But these security forces are being now used to silence the legitimate voice of the people. If the people are dissatisfied with the actions of the government, they ought to be able to say it. And they shouldn't have to wait until the government convenes a meeting on government street to raise their voices. They should be able to organize themselves into the byways of our social construct and have conversations with each other and voice their opinions about the actions of their government. If they are not staging anything that threatens life or limb, as it is called, I don't see how the forces of the government, the security forces that are controlled by the government, has any legitimacy in using instruments of violence against such people. That
but
is
the people,
a human rights concern.
But the people who are protesting are all workers of the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Government has not done that to their workers. It's just the private sector workers that are being dismissed or terminated because they didn't take the vaccine.
Okay.
But there's a lot of government workers that have not taken it, and they have not been dismissed, and they have been getting their salary for the last 18 months of the pandemic straight. So that's a conflict. That's the conflict right there.
That's a conflict.
How is
the
private sector
and the government
is
has failed
doing
in
that and not the government?
Protect the citizens. Huh? And thereby the government has failed in its responsibility to protect the citizens if it can let private industry deprive them of their livelihood and government just sit by and say nothing. And more than that, just sit by and say nothing when the people protest against these atrocities, and I'm going to call them that. The government steps in and says, shut the hell up. But even the government is in cahoots with private industry to silence the people and force them into being of non-entity as if they do not matter.
We have a little noise by Phil, so he won't be in for a little while. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dennis.
Cardinal, doesn't government have the right to protect the health and well-being of all the people? So if you have a few people who are threatening the possibility of good health within the community, doesn't the government not have the right to get involved with trying to address and, if necessary, redress that situation? That means that government sees that the population, the citizenry as a whole, is running the risk of rampant disease destruction. They don't have the facilities to treat all those people who get infected and require intensive care. They don't have the nurses. They don't have the physical abilities. So government does need to step in. I'm not sure that they are actually... what should we say? I'm not sure that they're actually
brutalizing or taking away the rights of people to protest. But of course, we must remember that people should protest and do so in a peaceful manner and not create, you know, destruction and mayhem. And I suppose government all over the world seems to think that protests as a whole is likely to turn into some sort of a violent outrage, and therefore they're trying to get ahead of the curve. I'm not saying that it is always or necessarily correct, but I think this is the mindset. We see it happening here in the United States quite frequently. So government has a duty to protect the rest of the citizens from this virus. And people who refuse to be vaccinated for strange reasons run the risk of infecting the whole population, the whole country. So
but government has workers that they not vaccinated. How come they're not sending them home?
Well, I don't know that they're not sending
them home. Oh, okay. Because nobody votes for the private sector, but people vote for the government.
Yeah.
does the private sector companies thinking about their own bottom line and the fact that they may be sued, don't they have a right to say to their people who they employ, this is the condition of your employment? Government don't necessarily.
I'm not knocking them. They have the rights. Everybody have the rights. The workers have rights, and the employers have rights. So I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, how come it's just the private sector?
Well, could it be that the private sector is ahead of the government in this particular area?
Okay, so we wait then.
Well, quite likely the government will probably get in on the act at the same time or later on to say people need to be vaccinated for what it is. It's just that the private sector are a lot easier to work with simply because they own a business, so they can set the condition of employment. You know, if people want to work, then they follow this, you know. I mean, I apply for a job and they said, this is your job description. This is your job requirement, and they reserve the right to change them at will. It's up to me to decide whether I want to continue. Gail has some questions. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Cardinal.
Dennis, that formula is acceptable under a system of oppression. And oppression does not recognize the rights of humanhood. No form, no mechanism of oppression recognizes the rights of humanhood. And so the idea of the private property owner having the right, some kind of right of ownership, some kind of right to impose on the rights of the individual, and they can do that because they are not government. But we got an entitlement to social participation. That's a human right, which is not really recognized with a strong voice. And that's why employers can get away with exploiting people. It's the same formula that established a system of slavery. A system of slavery comes under a system of oppression. The system, the economic system that was built upon slavery is also a system of oppression. And so we have accepted this idea that the employer, because he's a private property owner, has somehow acquired the right of exploitation. I don't see how I can go along with that when I understand the sanctity of human rights, the sanctity of the right to live, the sanctity of the right to life, the sanctity of the right to social participation and benefit. That is a right that we should be all entitled to, because we carry some burden, you know, in exchange for that right. With right comes responsibility. And the government,
right,
nor the private sector, can have right without an accompanying responsibility.
Cardinal, the citizens have a right to also, you know, expect that they, I mean,
those who are vaccinated and those who are not vaccinated. The vaccinated people have a right to health, good health. And those who are not
Everybody has a right to good health.
But those who are not vaccinated does not have a right to get infected and then pass it on to the rest of us. So they have a responsibility as citizens to behave in a socially responsible manner. And you're saying that a worker should be able to go into a business place and say to the employer, these are my condition to work for you. No, that does not follow, Colin.
Yes.
No, it does not
follow. And the only way that does not happen, the contract, an employment contract, is always an adhesion contract. Always. An adhesion contract is a contract that is in the benefit, that is to the benefit, the greater benefit of one of the contracting parties. It's offered on a take it or leave it basis. And our private sector industries have been able to operate on that for centuries. We understand that. It's the same formula of slavery. You can either be a slave or die. An adhesion contract. You can't even call it a contract. You can either be a slave or die. You can either serve the oppressor or die. You know, that is the these are the terms that we are offered. Now, with this vaccine thing, there's another element of oppression, which is the dissemination of misinformation, where misinformation becomes the premise for the exercise of authority. And then it is called right. Now, this vaccine thing and this antivirus, this virus thing, has had a whole host of misinformation surrounding it. And the more we look at this, the more we see the irrationality of the idea of saying, well, unvaccinated people cannot come into my establishment. But at the same time, you're telling people, the vaccinated people also have the potential to be infected. So, what are you saying? We know that the fully vaccinated people have the potential to be infected just like the unvaccinated people. Where does this idea of immunity come in? That's misinformation. So you're riding on misinformation to justify your power to subject people to indignity.
Cardinal,
that cannot be right.
No, I disagree with you, Cardinal.
The government
is not putting out misinformation. The misinformation is coming from those who seem to think that the bad information they're getting is real. Government gives the information about the vaccine, but of course, we know from science that variants, mutations of the virus, can be just as deadly or even worse so. Therefore, even though you're vaccinated, the unvaccinated people breeds these virus and allows it to mutate easier. That mutation can infect even those who have been vaccinated, although the effect is not as bad on the vaccinated people as it is in the unvaccinated people because it's a deadly virus. It's the mutation as a result of people getting the disease, the ones who are not vaccinated, because the virus breeds without fear or favor. And that's where the mutation occurs that causes the various, mutated versions, which causes the problem. So even though people who are vaccinated are getting the virus, it's only because those people who are unvaccinated allow the virus to mutate and cause these variants to occur. So vaccination is a real thing. No worker should have the ability to walk into a place and say, I must have this, unless it threatens their health. And it's no way the vaccination threatens the health of people, because how many millions of vaccines have been given around the world today, and how many billions of people have shown any kind of adverse effect? None, as far as we're aware. but we know the adverse effect of not being vaccinated. So I leave it for somebody else to comment. And back to you, Leo.
There are seven people over the course of the last week.
Mm-hmm.
There were seven people who died in Florida.
Yes.
Not from the virus,
but
from complications of the vaccine. They were vaccinated.
No.
Let me finish, Dennis. They died from complications related to the vaccine itself. And nobody can tell me whether or not I am one of the people who is going to die because I take the vaccine. There is no way of isolating people as yet. And the fact that you can do that, but you're telling everybody to take the vaccine, you're relying on misinformation. Secondly, the people who are unvaccinated and the people who are vaccinated are also potentially susceptible to infection. And it has nothing, the mutation of the virus has nothing to do with unvaccinated people. Nothing.
Yes, it has. It has.
A virus does not mutate because of unvaccinated people. If a virus mutates in order to ensure its survival. And that is why that's why your doctor does not want to give you too much antibiotics, because the strain of the bacteria that he gives you that antibiotic against is going to mutate to survive the assault of the antibiotic. That's where I don't see what unvaccinated people had to do with the mutation of this virus.
Because the virus can only mutate if it is breeding, if it is replicating. With the vaccinated people, the virus does not get to replicate because it is not growing. It grows in those people who are not vaccinated, and therefore, this is where, as it grows, it mutates. There you get your variant.
A person does not get infected or show signs of infection unless the bacteria or the microbe that person is infected with somehow multiplies. It's only that way that the person
it
will show signs of infection. What an infection is a certain level of bacterial imposition above a certain level. So that's what an infection is. So if the vaccinated people get infected and show signs of infection and become ill, it's because within them the virus is replicating and increasingly invading other cells than the one it first entered into. That's what the infection is. So there's no business about vaccinated, unvaccinated people causing the virus to mutate. The only thing about unvaccinated people that don't cause the virus to mutate is because their own system, their own immune system would develop defenses against that virus, would be developed microbes against that virus. And in order for that virus to survive, it has to mutate in order to avoid the onslaught of the antibodies. But both unvaccinated and vaccinated people are susceptible to infection. And unvaccinated people don't have a greater chance of infecting somebody than a vaccinated people, than vaccinated people. So that in itself is misinformation. And we are relying on this information to permit government and these private sector people to impose on the livelihood and life of people and take away their right to live as human beings. I cannot condone that. We have been subjected to circumstances that are justified by misinformation for the past 6 centuries. There is no reason why civilized people should sit down and allow this to continue.
So, Cardinal, throughout the history of medicine, we've heard and we have a tremendous amount of vaccines out there being used. Mumps, rubella, measles, chickenpox, and so on. People have been taking these forever because we know it works. Smallpox, we know it works. Tuberculosis, we know how deadly these diseases are if they go unchecked. So why is it suddenly that this particular virus, vaccine against this particular virus, is any different from the vaccines for all those other hundreds of diseases that have gone ahead? It is because today we have a lot of, dare I call it, uneducated people telling mistruths and lies about things are going under the guise that this is freedom, self-freedom, and you should be free to infect and do whatever. Look what's happening to our children today. Children are being put in hospitals on ventilators because they have this variant virus. Don't we have a responsibility to look after our children anymore? You know,
we have a responsibility to look after our children, and those who are the architects and administrators of our social institutions also have a responsibility to tell us the truth. And this virus in particular is surrounded by what you probably would call the educated people, the ones who control the power. I guess those are who you consider to be the educated people. But let me say something here. I'm not denying that they are educated based on what their definition of education is. But within that education construct, there's a disposition of disrespect for humanity. And I do not consider that disposition civilized. There's a disposition of this lack of respect for humanity for people who wield power and have the authority to make decisions. But we call them honorable. And we say they're educated. They know what they're doing. But they are evil. So whether they're educated or not, and by whatever definition you consider them to be educated, their lack of respect for humanity warrants my distrust. And that is what this is about. The misinformation that is surrounding this particular virus has annoyed people, have put people in confusion, and they are saying, no more. Yes, we have previously got the benefit of viruses. Those viruses, or I should say vaccines, and vaccine. As far as we know, those vaccines provide us with a measure of immunity. This particular vaccine does not provide any immunity. So why are you even calling it a vaccine? Based on what we understand a vaccine to be previously. When you get a vaccine, I had mumps at 6 years old. I never had a vaccine for mumps, but I never got mumps afterwards. I had measles around the same time when I was 6 or 7, and I never caught measles again. I could be around my son when he had the measles, and I didn't get it. That's immunity. This vaccine does not provide that immunity. And if people catch the virus and recover on their own, building their own immunity from their own natural resources, then there could be nothing better than that.
I would like to say, where are you getting your information from? Huh? What?
Who are you addressing?
I'm addressing Phil, anybody who listens.
Phil, who are you getting
the information from? What? Where are they getting the information? Because Dr. Fauci is the chief epidemiologist, or whatever you call it, in America and the world. America is leading the world in science. Huh?
Yes.
And he
says...
That's misinformation, Phil.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's not.
That is misinformation.
It's not. No.
You understand? So,
because
don't even come to me with that.
But,
who is the leader? You know, you can come from a marginalized country like St. Kitts or Antigua and expect to bamboozle people into thinking what you believe.
That's the mistake, Phil. You believe that people from St. Kitts and Antigua do not have the capacity of intelligence as Europeans have. And that's a mistake.
No.
That's a big mistake.
No, I didn't say that. You're contradicting yourself.
I can't come from a marginalized country and I'm not trying to bamboozle anybody. But the idea that people from formerly colonized countries cannot be as wise or as intelligent as Europeans, it's annoying. It's very annoying.
Well, let me tell you something.
The first philosophers, the people, the real aspects of human civilization. On that note,
I know it's getting heated, but we want to hear from Lynette before she goes. And Phil, we want to hear from you as well, Lynette. I know you're enjoying this. What say you? Finally, what say you?
Yes, I enjoy it. I don't get into the fighting.
No,
we're up to 62% fully vaccinated, so that's going along.
Uh-huh.
And Phil, think it's not marginalized. Think it is right out there with everybody else.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, when our students go to university, they grab them up so much. They don't let them come back. I know about all that. We are very bright and intelligent and smart. We're not marginalized. We're right out there.
But if you check out the Bible says that Israel is the center of God's anointment, he's the center of everything that happens in this world. Everything revolves around Israel. And the British Commonwealth
is a main player. We understand all of that. But America is not all 100% there.
Right.
They have their flaws. Right now, they have a big flaw with Afghanistan.
I would say that we need to read our Bibles more. Because the time is coming when the Holy Spirit will leave this world and we'll have to deal with the Antichrist. If we don't believe in God and what he provides in his word. My mother was...
Yes.
Tell me, what are you saying? What?
Yeah, time is running out. We want to hear from Lynette now. Lynette, your final thoughts.
Yes, we say okay. I just say I enjoyed the show. I listened before I came in, and I had a good time. It was nice hearing you, and you enjoy your rest of the week ahead, and have a good one, everybody. We enjoyed it. It was a good discussion.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, enjoy hearing you. Go ahead. Final thoughts, Gardner. One minute.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, Lynette, I'm hoping that your government in St. Kitts, Nevis, Antigua, St. Vincent, Barbados, the Caribbean as a whole, and everywhere else, would hope that they will begin to recognize the meaning and significance of the term humanity and the sanctity of human rights, and to adjust themselves to this idea as we deal with this threat of a coronavirus that it seems to be threatening life on this planet. Well, I'm hoping that the debate continues. And as long as it does, I'm going to be part of it. So I'm going to be here.
Very good. Very good.
It was wonderful
good,
to join you. So I'll be here again. Until then, have a great week.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dennis, your final thoughts, sir?
Yes, one point here. Bacterial infection, which causes earlier diseases, causes inconvenience more than death. Virus infection, which causes disease by their very nature, because of how they work, they kill, and they kill quickly. This is why these virus needs to be stopped, and vaccine is the only way we have. Right now, we don't know enough about this virus. So get vaccinated, stay safe, stay isolated, wear your mask. And
thank
hope
you
to
so much.
Hear you, see you, talk with you next time around. Do join us tomorrow Sunday for the cricket show. Thank you, Lily.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, gentlemen and Lily. Thank you all so very much. Awesome. I wish you could go on forever, but, you know, everything has got to come to an end. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon.
I did enjoy the show this morning and, you know, all the other mornings, Saturday morning. And we'll be tuning in tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening on the Sunday evening show, 6 to 9 p.m. So come on, come
all
on.
Right.
Tell your neighbor. We are on 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday. So on that note, I have bid you farewell. So long, until, not goodbye. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, good night, good night. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. See you all tomorrow. See you on the radio, as some would say. Thank you so much. Good night. For watching.